السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمر واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أهلا وسهلا. Welcome to today's show. If you've just joined us, you're on Adhikrayat and I'm your host, Tasneem. We begin in the name of Allah. بسم الله الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Welcome to the Adhikrayat show. I'm your host, Tasneem, and today we're talking all about unity. So in today's show, I'll be introducing you to a very special friend of mine, Apa Zaira Karim, who's in studio with us, and I'm super excited to have her in studio with us. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome, Apa Zaira.
Jazakallah khairan, assalamu alaikum to the listeners of Radio Islam.
And Apa Zaira is no stranger to Radio Islam. She's a frequent guest presenter on Radio Islam International. Apa Zaira Karim is also the director of Ummahat and the ambassador of GBV. The Jamiatul Ulama and Islamic Airline is now raising awareness on gender-based violence, and she's the ambassador for the GBV campaign. Congratulations and Mubarak on that. And she's also one of the co-founders of Hijab Support Group and a very, very special friend of mine. Alhamdulillah. So I'm very excited to have her in the studio with me, and we're going to be speaking about unity. So Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Today is a very special day, the day just before Eid, and according to our calendar, the day of Arafat. So it's a very, very special day where Allah's mercy descends upon each one of us, inshallah. Let us make maximum use of this day and this few hours left of this day. And inshallah, today what we want to focus in today's show is all about unity. You know, speaking about unity being strength. And we use these terminologies so loosely, and we speak about unity being strength, but do we actually understand and really know the meaning of unity? Think about when the sand grains unite, they become a vast desert. When the sea drops unite, they become a boundless ocean. The stars, you know, they soothe our eyes in the skies. The seven colors emerge in the shape of a bewitching rainbow. The unity of people makes an invincible, strong nation. This is the reason Islam lays great stress on the importance of unity. But we say all of these things, but do we really believe it, you know? And I think this is what me and Apa Zaira want to discuss today, and we want to engage our listeners, and please do give us a call. We love listening to your interaction and your comments. The number to call is 011-854-1548.
Yeah, I think this is a very important chat that we need to have. And it's also about time that we started talking about unity, because I feel like as Muslims, yes, we are united in our name, so we're all Muslim by name. But if you really look at it, our importance falls mostly on our households, our chores, our children. But united as an ummah, I don't know if that's a responsibility we've all taken very seriously. If you think about it, those of you that are tuned in now, we don't even know our neighbors' names. We don't greet anymore. We don't send, I don't know if you remember or if your parents would do the same when you were young, and they would send a platter of food to the neighbor on Eid day, on mm-hmm. Fridays, all those things. Where's that gone? What happened to us?
I think we've kind of lost it along the way, and I don't know where it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, but what unity is deeper than that of the pilgrims? Alhamdulillah, you know, yesterday they stood on the mountain of Arafah with bare heads and simple white cloths, and this was the deep meaning of what it means to be standing as a united ummah. There's no difference between the rich and the poor, the ruler and the subject, men and women. We need to rid of ourselves of these binary terms. You know, we're so subjected to us and them. There's always this other.
Yes.
So we're always feeling like we need to prove ourselves better, or we need to be superior than the next. And it's always black and white, or male or female, or Muslim or non-Muslim. And then within the Muslims, it's Shia, Sunni. We never ever stand as one human race. I think before we can even be a good Muslim, we need to be a good human being.
Exactly. You know, as you're speaking, I'm thinking about when on the last day of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was leaving this world, and he said one thing. He said ummati, and that's something that we've all heard. We all know this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dying, but he was concerned about you and I. But he didn't say my nation that is wealthy. He didn't say my nation that is educated. He just said ummati. He said my nation. And so I think when we unite, we fall under that whole understanding of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying Ummati, as opposed to thinking that, okay, we are a group of 10 people and we're not like the rest of the Muslims, but we are Muslim. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like there's a lot that's going on in our nations. There's a lot going on in our communities, and it brings to mind something that I heard recently, where one of the first things to be lifted from this ummah will be mutual love, and so it's been requested that we start greeting one another. The only way to instill mutual love and understanding and unity is to start greeting one another. And so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Afshu salam bainakum," that start spreading salam between you. And notice something, we're so disunited as an ummah that as you're leaving your driveway to go to work or whatever it is, your neighbor will be getting into their car also, but you won't even wave, you won't greet, you won't do anything. And just like that, once we stop greeting, we stop looking at one another, and we stop caring for one another. It's something as simple as greeting. And I know that all the listeners listening to this can you share the same sentiments as myself, that how many times haven't you been to Stanton, you're shopping, you're in the masjid with other men, and no one's greeting anyone. We're all there to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we, if you look at someone's face and you don't necessarily know who they are, you stare at them, as you get closer, you look down and you quickly run past them.
And Apa Zaira, we're going to use that excuse to say, you know, we're too busy. Yeah. Or life is just too hectic. And, you know, we can't even stop and greet somebody nowadays.
No, absolutely not. It's not hectic enough for you to not greet.
That's a very, very sad state of affairs. But unfortunately, that has become our reality. Going back to what has just happened in Makkah Mukarramah and on the plains of Arafat, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful, and His mercy is descending upon all the entire earth right now, yes. Subhanallah. And these hajis have, you know, in humility, in submissiveness, they've, you know, totally submitted to Allah as well. And this is the actual definition of what it means to be a Muslim. But somehow we forget, like these terminologies, they're just words for us, to be a Muslim, to belong to an ummah. But we actually need to sit and ponder. And Allah loves when we take this time out to sit and to think and to ponder. And like you just said, what does it mean to be part of this ummah? Like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just said, my ummati, what does that mean? I mean, we know that the stories, and we can go on and on, and I mean, you know, we can speak all day about these things, like how the Anbiya Alayhi Salaam, Musa Alayhi Salaam, and Isa Alayhi Salaam both made dua, prophets of Allah, Nabis of Allah, that made dua to belong to the ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just sit and ponder upon that thought for 1 second. Imagine a Nabi of Allah, a prophet of Allah, asking Allah to make him one of us. Subhanallah.
And we are that.
And
we
are exactly that.
Yes.
What a privilege, what an honor to be part of the ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But where along the line have we lost the plot?
I wish I knew. I wish I could go back in time and find that day where things changed a bit and just alter it somewhat, because we broke up into our different castes. We broke up into our different gams. We broke up into our different styles of living. We broke up into our children's school. That's who our friends became, as opposed to the friends we used to have before. Mm-hmm. In so many different ways, we disunited. But things that are un-Islamic. And I often say to my students, and I'll say again on radio, that I think it's time that we become Muslim again. I think it's time that you forget whatever it is that made or makes you feel different or superior to another person, and realize that Arafah doesn't have to happen once a year. Arafah can be every day for you, where you can stand shoulder to shoulder next to someone that's from another country and just be one ummah.
Subhanallah. You know, it's a kind of unity that penetrates the heart. And not only on external appearances, because when you're standing there, you all look the same. In Arafah, in Muzdalifah, I remember when I went on Hajj. Assalamu alaikum. I think we have a caller on the line. Alhamdulillah. How are you, my sister?
Alhamdulillah. With your people, very much.
And who's calling us? What's your name?
Jane.
Your name, sister?
I speak
in how loud. Can you hear me? Where are you calling us from?
I just called to say a very, very, very happy Eid Mubarak to you, and what Allah has given us, the beautiful day of Bakr-Eid. We are so fortunate, sister, that we have, Allah has given us everything in this world, yet we don't appreciate anything. But Allah, I hope this Mubarak day, and then between Makkah or somewhere, all of them are Sri and Arafat. Allah bless them, reward them, accept their hajj, Allah Pak Magruz Kare and Kabul Bhi Kare, inshallah. All their duas, all their ibadat, all Allah accept everything of theirs and forgive all their sins, inshallah. And I hope they include us also in their duas.
Ameen.
May Allah bless them and reward them too. And may Allah bless you all, you and your family, for the beautiful program of Radio Islam. And Allah give you all long life, wealth, and happiness. And I hope you have a very, very blessed Eid Mubarak tomorrow, inshallah.
Ameen.
And Allah keep us all in good health, wealth, and Allah accept all our duas also. And everybody in the other side of the world is suffering too. Allah Pak, help them and make it easy for them also. That's my dua for all.
Ameen, ameen. What a heartfelt dua. Jazakallahu khairan. Such a beautiful dua. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Eid Mubarak to you too. Waalaikumsalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for that beautiful call. The lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548.
Okay, I think you know, the lady just called in now and made such a beautiful dua, but it's unity. You know what I mean? You can at any point in your day stop and pick up a phone, call someone, instead of saying every time I make dua I think of you. You can phone them and say, may Allah bless you with us, may Allah do that with you. And that also is part of us uniting as an ummah. So the topic for today that we're discussing is unity. So I just want to narrate a hadith that I came across where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the parable of the believers in their affection, mercy and compassion for each other is that of a body. When any limb aches, the whole body reacts with sleeplessness and fever. Subhanallah, what a beautiful hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say only when it happens to your blood relatives. He said that for the believers, that's you and I, that's any person that says the kalima, anyone that says the kalima, when someone else is hurting, you should hurt. When someone else needs to talk, you should have the ears to listen. You know, it's not, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, part of us, that part of our ummah that became this united was because of, we feel like we don't know what to say, we feel like we don't know what to do, and so we just stay away and we stay in our houses. And because we've stayed away, just because we don't know what to say, we don't really know anyone anymore, we don't interfere with anyone anymore, and we think in our hearts and make ourselves feel better that I don't want to get involved, I don't think, maybe we can go next week to visit so and so. Go, it increases muhabbat. You don't have to have the right words to go to visit someone, you can just, your presence sometimes makes a difference to a person's life. We also have something that Ibrahim alayhi salam mentions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, it was so important that Allah speaks about it in the Quran, where Ibrahim alayhi salam says in the Quran, Rabbana waj'alna muslimaini laka wa min dhurriyatina ummatan muslimatan lak. Where Ibrahim alayhi salam, before even meeting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before anything happened, before there was a whole community called Muslims, Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that make for us a nation, make for us an ummah that is Muslim towards you, O Allah, meaning that submits to you, O Allah. And even in that, Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't say an ummah that is pious, an ummah that is always worshipping you. He just said an ummah that submits.
Subhanallah, and that is the definition of Muslim, submission to the will of Allah. But we pick and choose, Abba Zaira.
Yeah, of course.
And we do that all the time. You know, but alhamdulillah, let us take lessons from the Hajis. And right now they are in the camps of Mina. They've probably just finished pelting or getting ready to pelt. You know, and you know, they're amongst different social classes, wealth, race, color. And all these barriers and all these binaries just vanish within these feelings and these rituals and these rites of Hajj. And it's a pure and solemn atmosphere of brotherhood and sisterhood and serenity and affection. And love prevails. You actually feel it when you're there in the camp of Mina. Alhamdulillah. But I think in a world engulfed in dispute and division, we need to bring these feelings from Mina camp and bring it home.
Inshallah.
Wherever you are, in whichever part of the world, bring those feelings home with you. And I think wherever you are sitting in the corner of your world, try and imagine what it might have felt like being on the plains of Arafah, in the camps of Mina, and try and get that feeling back in your heart. Inshallah, if you've had the privilege of doing your Hajj, you know, then go back to that feeling and make it real for you. And make it real for you, because like you said, Arafat can be every day. And Hajj can, you know, these feelings that we felt on the plains of Arafah and we felt in the camps of Mina, we can bring it home and, you know, smile at the sister you see in the supermarket.
Yes.
And greet the sisters that you meet at your next halakha.
And why did we stop smiling also? What happened to that?
I don't know, Akhazaira.
What happened to us?
We're too busy.
Gosh,
and
so
I love what you said about empathy. You know, empathy is a skill. A lot of times you think we're just born with empathy. We're supposed to be. That's a human trait.
Yes.
But somewhere along the line, it becomes a bit distorted and fragmented. So I think as adults, as responsible adults, we need to go back and dig deep in our souls and go back to the basic feeling of empathy and loving for your brother what you love for yourself.
Most definitely.
You know, this is the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I always say there's so much of psychology in the deen of Allah.
Yes.
And in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and nobody understood human relationships and human psyche like the best psychologist humanity has ever known, Nabi Muhammad Habibullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we need to go back to basics. This is where we need to start. I read something so profound the other day, and it said, if you want to go out and change the world, then go home and love your family. You know, this is where it all starts, by creating those solid foundation of love and affection and mercy and empathy and compassion in your family, with your children. You can never love them too much. There's a difference between overindulging them with material things and, you know, raising privileged and entitled kids. But you can never love them enough. You should shower them with love. And this, by showering them with love, with this mercy, this compassion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to as one of His 99 names, Rahim, then inshallah we will be raising human beings and not robotic people that don't have feelings and emotions.
Definitely.
So go home and love your family. We think we're doing enough because we live in such selfish, you know, existence where it's just me, myself, and my family. But I think we do it from a place of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear is based on low self-esteem because we're always trying to be better than our neighbors, trying to be better than our sister's family or our friend's family. But I think do it from a place of love where you know you unconditionally loving these human beings that are your first amanat.
Yes.
And then you are raising nations. I always say, you know, and I love that, and I'm all about woman empowerment, and I love it when I read that saying that says, when you educate a woman, you're educating a nation. Subhanallah. So I think we as women, we need to start on this campaign of unity. And it starts with loving within. Before you can even love your family, you need to love yourself.
Definitely.
So it's going to bring us back to self-awareness. But inshallah, we'll be chatting more about this after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Adhikrayat show. And I'm your host, Tasneem. And with me today in studio is Apa Zahira Karim, the founder and director of Ummahat Madrasa, and also the co-founder of Hijab Support Group. And today we're speaking all about unity. And just before the break, we spoke about how, in order to love another human being, we need to love ourselves first. So we find ourselves to be so fragmented within, you know, in terms of who we are, what we like, what we don't like. You really need to go back to the basics and find out, who am I? And then it's so much easier once you love yourself to love someone else, because we're all searching for unity. And before the break, we spoke about these terms that we use, like we belong to this ummah and unity is strength. But do we even realize and do we even understand what these mean, what these words actually mean? And Allah loves when we sit and ponder and we think and we contemplate and we bring meaning to these words and then we implement it into our lives. So I think to go back and to love yourself is so, so vital and important.
Definitely.
Because this is what happens if we fragment it within ourselves. We are raising people that are broken and fragmented, and this is becomes inevitably our societies. So when we look at the past, you know, the glory of Islam's past civilization, it clearly demonstrates the bond of brotherhood. And, you know, in a multicultural society, and it sustained for long, long periods of time. And such glory is a manifestation of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's great vision that he had for unity. Together with the Sahaba, he advocated righteousness and he forbid evil based on the guidance from the Quran. But the concept of brotherhood and harmony commanded by Allah was well understood by them. Unfortunately, we seem to be missing the point along the way. So the question is whether that mythology is understood by today's society, specifically among Muslims, you know, and Muslims in leadership. So in today's show, we briefly explore the concept of unity in Islam based on the guidance of the Quran and the Hadith, inshallah.
Okay, Alhamdulillah, we've had our SMSs open. We posted that you can message either myself or Tasneem, also that the lines are open. So we have been getting a few questions. So inshallah, let me
just give out those numbers again. So the number to call is 011-854-1548 and the number to SMS is 082-551-3885.
Okay, so Tasneem, I'll just forward this message to you and inshallah you can shed some light on it. It says here that our family is so disunited. Everyone, and I'm sure a lot of you listening, I think you should just stop what you're doing and sit down and listen, because you see, when you break family ties, you're breaking your tie with Allah. So I suggest people sit and really pay mind to this here. So the question is, our family is so disunited, everyone is on their own vibe, and I want to write a letter to each family that, being my nanny's kid, my mom's brothers, something on those lines, we can't do this anymore. Would you say that this is a good idea? Someone has to do something about it, and I know I'm going to step on toes, but no one wants to get together and talk about the issues. No one wants to make the effort. Everyone is comfortable in their disunity. So what does the sister do in that situation?
Well, this is a very real situation, a very sad situation, but very realistic, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. You know, unity is a drive towards social stability of a country, of a family, of a nation. And if we don't have unity within our families, how do we have unity within our ummah? So I think just by the sister taking the initiative and taking that first step, whether it's writing a letter or gathering the family and having a sit down, clarity is part of deen.
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody else is going to take that initiative, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this idea in your head, then read your 2 rakats nafil salah, you know, and pray to Allah for guidance, because He had put this thought in your head. So inshallah, He will assist you when you carry out this. And I think the most important is innamal a'malu binniyat, that we are doing this only to please Allah. Yes. Because like you said, by breaking ties with family is like breaking ties with Allah.
Mm.
And I always say forgiveness is not a measure of future reconciliation. It doesn't matter that if you forgive somebody, you have to go back to being honky-dory with them. The hurt is there, the pain is there, the memory is there. No one's an angel, we are human beings. But forgiving is something you do. When you forgive, you realize that you were the prisoner all along and you set that prisoner free.
Definitely.
So whether that person deserves that forgiveness or not, you need to do, that's your business.
And I think the listeners, that you might feel you're too young to help your family. You might feel you're insignificant. You might feel not heard. But I think you need to say something. You need to do something, because otherwise the learned adults are going to continue doing whatever it is that they're doing, and generations will go by where it will split to the extent that no one will know who your sister's children are.
Yes. And I think we're never too young, or never, you know, we always feel like we don't know enough, or we're not ulama, or we're not learned enough. But we just have to look at the lives of the Sahaba.
Yes.
You know, in terms of how enthusiastic they were when the call of jihad would come, the youngsters would pick up their hands.
And I think we're so quick to break ties for anything. It's like someone doesn't invite you for a wedding, you break ties. Someone forgets to or doesn't want your children to come to the function because maybe there's too many children in the family, and then we get upset and we break ties. Someone, na'udhubillah, something happens and your child does something displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end of the day, you are not Allah. So you don't break the ties. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with whatever it is that's going on. But you don't play the role of Allah and say that you are out of the fold of Islam and you are in the fold of Islam and things like that. We don't do those things. And as an ummah, we don't disunite. We look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose own uncle Abu Lahab would do so many things to harm him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But did you ever hear in the seerah where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my uncle that was so disrespectful to this deen, I just broke ties with him. You don't hear things like that. So I would say, Mubarak to the sister who's actually going to take out an initiative like this here and send messages to each family. Maybe someone's waiting for that letter, you know, and they're just too afraid to even say anything.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you. And, you know, like I said, just innamal a'malu binniyat, and keep on checking your intention, beginning, middle, and end, and purely for the pleasure of Allah.
Yes.
You know, when we speak about unity, unity as a concept has always been misunderstood among members of certain communities. Therefore, this issue not only persists in the context of plural society, but also abide in a community of homogenous religion or race. So the dream of unity must be based on a clear evidence and not merely hypothetical. Because when we speak about unity, it seems like a dream. It's like, you know, like dream on, like really, is that going to happen? But I think within ourselves, each one of us starts within ourselves.
Yeah.
And fix what is within ourselves. And Allah will fix what is within the nation.
And get to a point in your life where you can say, I tried. So in, this one's not talking to that one, but I tried. I tried to mend family ties. Na'udhubillah, some of us are even keeping away children from parents. We're keeping away children from their fathers. We're doing so many things that are disuniting the ummah. Where if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to walk in today into our homes, into our families, and you know we read khatams and we read so much of Quran and so many hadith and we're so learned, but we're not talking to our own sister, then I'm sorry, there's no place in this deen for things like for behavior like that. Right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, the Nabi of Allah never ever broke ties with his own enemies, so who are we?
And we have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah. And where are you calling us
I'm
from?
I'm calling from Lanesha. I just want to remain anonymous.
No, that's fine.
Because, you know what, I'm just trying to avoid the radio.
No problem.
Because some people are approachable and some are approachable.
No, you go ahead.
And I've got the same problem where there's no family ties, unfortunately, you know. And our children are at a loss. Generations to come will be at a loss. It's just because we are so obstinate just to ask for forgiveness, to humble ourselves. There are so many people that are so forgiving. And you know, sometimes the kids look at other kids and they say, why is it that their situations are so good and we can't have relationships like theirs, you know? It is so heartbreaking to see that because sometimes you find so much of spite and enmity because people are so absorbed in the vanities of this dunya. And I make dua for the ummah at large, inshallah, that Allah humble them, give them all, you know, the hidayah to understand that it is not too late to mend and to reconcile.
Ameen.
And I bless everybody. I wish everybody a very blessed Eid. And may Allah fill your day also with barakah and with happiness and joy.
Ameen.
And may dua for the Ummat at large, inshallah. Ameen. And Hajj makhroor and makbool to all the Hajjis.
Ameen.
And I hope Allah calls us also one day into
Makkah Medina, inshallah. Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for that beautiful call, all about humility, about being less arrogant, about making that first move towards forgiveness. You know, let us, tomorrow's Eid al-Adha, let us wake up and let us, you know, form those bonds again and reunite with our family. Because this is where it starts. It starts within our families. There's so much of stress in the Sharia and Deen with regards to familial bonds and familial ties. And this is where it starts. It starts on these days.
But also ask yourself, what are you going to gain? What have you
by
gained?
By holding those grudges.
By holding grudges, by not talking to someone. Do you feel a sense of power that, you know, I'm not going to talk to this person and now I feel like powerful now because I've broken ties? What is it that you're holding on to that you just can't speak to someone that shares the same bloodline as you?
In Abba Zaira, we all make mistakes.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, when that incident probably has happened, there was so much happening in that person's life, in your life. Maybe now it's time to let go.
And another thing is, with that mentality, you can't forgive your own brother for something that he did to you 20 years ago. How do you expect to stand in front of Allah and then you asking Allah for tawbah, but you can't even forgive your own brother?
Allah shows mercy to those who show mercy.
Exactly. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fis sama. Have mercy on one another, and then Allah will have some mercy on us, inshallah. Use Eid as an excuse to ask for maaf. And also, I think at this point, I need to say this, and I hope there's a lot of people listening today, inshallah, that your broadcast message to the whole dunya, you have the entire world, all the different codes and everything, and then you send make me maaf broadcasts, and you know, sincerely asking you for maaf. And
do those count?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, just the same inconvenience you cause them by breaking whatever it is the same inconvenience you need to put yourself through to go and ask someone for maaf. So for those of you who are BC senders, especially when it comes to big night and big day, that message is not going to suffice you in the court of Allah. I don't know if there's going to be Wi-Fi over there in the Akhirat. And so you can't show Allah proof of you asking for maaf. You need to physically lift up your feet and go to the people that you've hurt and ask them for maaf, inshallah.
Mm. And like the caller said, it's all about humbling ourselves, swallowing that pride, letting go of that arrogance and that fear, whatever it is. And just think, how will I answer in the court of Allah? It's easier to do it here in dunya, get it over with. You know, swallow that pride, as difficult as it is. Like the sister said, she's going to write a letter. Mm-hmm. In whichever medium or form that you feel is necessary. Obviously, BC doesn't count.
Yeah.
Broadcasts don't count and WhatsApp messages don't count. But write a letter, send an email. But, you know, open those lines of communication and try and get clarity so that you can put your heart at ease. And once your heart is at ease, Allah says, come to me with a humble heart, with a soft heart. How do we stand in ibadah with all of this weighing us down?
Mm-hmm.
What quality does it have? You know, how much weight does our ibadah have then?
Not only Allah knows, but it's so shallow that we say Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim, but we can't even forgive. And it reminds me, Arafah being, we living in the days of Arafah, and we know the last sermon, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O people, just as you regard this month, this day, the city as sacred, so regard the life and property of every Muslim as sacred, as a sacred trust. Hurt no one so that no one will hurt you. Subhanallah. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes on to say that remember that you will indeed meet Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and He will reckon you for your deeds. So, I mean, he could have said anything on that last day. But he spoke about unity, he spoke about not hurting one another, he spoke about being good to your wife, he spoke about things that in our ummah today, that is our reality. So yes, it's easy to pick up a Quran and read, but is it easy to go and speak to someone who you haven't spoken to for 10 years and ask them for maaf?
I think it all starts by looking at the person in the mirror and loving that person staring back at you.
Mm.
You know, once you love yourself, it's easy to love the next person. So perhaps most of us think of the spiritual sacrifice as giving up something, because these are the days of Hajj. It's all about sacrifice. Tomorrow it's all about the Qurbani. But we have to look inside ourselves to see why we are sacrificing something in the first place. In fact, sacrifice is an act of submission to Allah. It is to submit to the will of the Almighty. Sometimes Allah asks us to sacrifice something important to us in order to learn that there is something greater and beyond it. But sadly, we fail to translate the essence of its sacrificial value in our life. You know, we need to practice the spiritual effect of sacrifices so that we can learn to rely on Allah's provisions rather than the things we have built for ourselves. And it's part of submitting to His will. I think we have one more question before we close. And I think we've done this one.
There's a second post on visiting. I think it had something to do with...
Yeah, let's just find that question and then we can close up with that question. The lines are open. We have a few minutes left. The number to call is 011-854-1548.
Okay, so the question here reads that there's a story that if you don't visit, I won't visit. How will we build unity with that kind of mentality?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So if I don't visit, you're not going to visit me.
Yeah, that mentality. Okay, and I mean, I've heard that
we've
also.
We've all heard that before.
Where people will even
we've
say we're waiting.
We've probably said that. I mean, let's keep it real, yeah.
We're waiting for a formal invite and then we'll visit you. Oh, you didn't come to my house, why must I visit
you? But Zaira, it all boils down to pride and arrogance.
Yeah.
You know, and keeping up your family name and your status. And who cares, really? Who cares? How is that important in the eyes of Allah? What counts is in our hearts, the quality of our ibadah. If we have all of these vices in our hearts, how are we making ibadah to Allah? Allah is most merciful, most ghafoorur rahim. He wants us to unite. He's all about love. Our deen is all about love. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed us to love Mount Uhud, an inanimate object. We can't even love our brothers and sisters. And Uhud loves us, the animals love us, the trees love us. And we as Muslims, as human beings, I always say, before you even attempt to be a Muslim, attempt to be a human being first.
SubhanAllah, what a powerful statement.
InshaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala grant us all the hidayat, grant me the understanding first.
Ameen. And then in the same tone, you get people that say, there's people visiting me way too much. It's so irritating.
Okay, let's not overdo the visitations, guys.
So don't wait for someone to invite you. If you feel
unless you're coming with goodies, then I'll make the tea.
If you feel like you need to visit
you bring the chocolate cake, I make the tea. How's that? That is fair.
Don't hold on to, like Tasneem said earlier in the show, that you need to choose your battles. Don't just make everything an issue.
Mm. Especially when it comes to blood relations. Let us mend those bonds. You know, hug your brothers and sisters tomorrow. It's Eid day. Celebrate. Be happy. And let us get those bonds of blood flowing again, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala unite us all and unite this ummah, and let us eventually be the vision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Ameen.
True definition of what an ummah really is all about. Ameen. And it starts within each one of us, inshallah. Abba Zaira, in closing, what would you like to say?
I share the same sentiments. I feel like it's time you let go of whatever dirt you have within you. Let go of that and then stand in front of Allah with open arms and beg Allah for the things you want. Once you've cleared your heart of all the filth and all the evil, all the pride, all the arrogance, you'll be able to unite. We will be able to unite as one ummah, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much for joining us once again. It's always fun to have you with me in studio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh from me and my engineer Muhammad Saleem, and from the Adhikrayat show. Inshallah, have a blessed Eid and have a great one tomorrow, inshallah. Eid Mubarak, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.